Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Lensless Podcast. This is show number 26, and on today's show we speak with Cezary Barczak of Vermeer Cameras, and we talk to Cezary about his love of all things pinhole, about his beautiful cameras. We look at some of his images. Apologies for the sound quality when we were talking to Cezary. He was in Poland, but we can't really use that as an excuse. I think it was just the fact that he hadn't paid his telecoms bills. So there we go, and we hope you enjoy. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 26 of the Lensless Podcast. And we're joined not by Mr. Cannon this evening, as he's running away from some strong wind somewhere. But hopefully, if I've mastered the technology, we have Neil Piper.
Hey, Andrew, yeah, you've mastered it.
Yeah, and well, I've taken so much stick from you over this today. Mainly to do with my age and inability to master the technology.
Well, to be fair, one, you're pretty old, and two, you were struggling to master the technology, so I think it's fairly...
No, it wasn't. It's just your your inability. You young people can't explain anything properly.
Look, you were given specific... In fact, I was given specific instructions, and you just commandeered them.
No, I'm older and wiser than you.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's lovely to have you here. Poor old Corey, we don't know if he's okay. I think he is. I saw he was obviously not blown away because he sent a message on Facebook. He was able to pop up and make some sarcastic remark on Facebook.
Well, I had a bit of a chat with him earlier, and I was still talking to him at about 3:15 our time. So
yeah, he's heading for the hills. He's got his sister lives some distance inland,
right?
And she lives in an area which is higher ground. So obviously, if there's a sort of flood or tsunami or something, yeah, she should be safe. And I think his sister's place is surrounded by trees, which he seemed to think was a good thing. But
as long as they're well rooted, then
yeah. Well,
right.
I didn't like to worry him, but yeah. Anyway, I'm sure the old boy will be fine, and his and hopefully his house will be still standing when he comes back to it.
Yeah, he'll be fine. We'll do him proud today.
Well, we hope so. Yes, it's all a bit nerve-wracking. I've not been allowed to run with one of these before.
Well, you're the boss today, mate.
I know.
I'm a Corey. I'm an Andrew, I suppose, aren't I?
You are, yes. It gets confusing.
You're the Corey. So, I'm the
well
Andrew.
Done on your Soot and Whitewash podcast.
Thank you, buddy.
It's good to hear you on the airwaves.
Seems to be going all right. It's just a little bit of fun, as you probably worked out. Well, however much you've listened to it, it's not anything too serious.
No, I listened to the one you posted today. I think it was today about
driving. Another trip to the post office.
Another trip to the post office. Yeah.
I think we'll retire that segment now. It's kind of run its course.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, this evening, because it is this evening, we are joined by Cezary Barczak. I think I've maybe got that about right. How are you doing, Cezary?
Hi. That's a good pronunciation of my surname. Don't worry.
Well, I'm only going to say it the once because I can't risk butchering your surname a second time.
I'm not going to say it at all because I missed it the first time. But hi, Cezary. How are you?
Hi, Neil.
Good.
For those folk out there who are not familiar with Cezary, we'll get him to talk about himself, but he's the man behind Vermeer Cameras. And some of you may have seen the posts.
Yeah,
I put
indeed.
Out. Yeah. I put some posts out about you today, Cezary. I don't know how, you're probably too busy to follow my witterings on Twitter, but I posted a picture of one of your cameras. I think it was, it might have been an anamorphic camera, and said, we're going to interview the twisted mind behind this camera. Because boy, you need to have either have a twisted mind or a very clever chap. So
we'll go with clever chap, shall we?
Yeah,
for now at least.
I think so. So Cezary, you're speaking to us all the way from Poland. You're not, because you've just disappeared.
He just disappeared, didn't he?
Yeah. Let's hope he can come back in again. So we can talk a little bit while he tries to recover.
I'm looking at that picture that you posted right now. That's a bit of a... that is obviously an anamorphic camera, isn't it?
I think so.
I'm just struggling to... I think it must be, because you can see the
cylinder.
Pinhole.
Yeah, it's like
the pinhole is in the big cylinder, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a cylinder inside a...
inside a box.
Inside a box.
It's just kind of interesting because the take-up spool and the film spool are both over to one side, whereas your film plane is a big cylinder over to the other side.
Tell you what we'll do. We'll take an early break and we'll come back and try and get that lovely Polish guy back on the line.
Cool. Do well.
Everybody, after that enforced break. Cesare, you back with us?
Yeah, I can hear you. That's great news.
Whatever you're doing, stay there and don't move.
I will. Sure.
Okay, Cesare, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey towards pinhole photography?
So, pinhole photography, to be honest, When I was a teenager, I never liked a pinhole photography because that was unsharp and fidelity of the pictures was very low. So people made some experiments like pinhole cameras made from show boxes or something like that. And even a friend of mine made camera like that, it show me the effects, but I just look at that and didn't been interested. So someday I found a forum called F295, created by Tom Persinger from Portland, Oregon, and that forum was a first source of inspiration for me. I found that people there were made own cameras and they weren't ugly. It was little masterpieces. And there was a platform for exchange of ideas, sort of knowledge for me.
Is F295 forum, is that still going or is that stopped now?
It exists, but there is no traffic. That.
So you can use it as a resource still?
Yes, of course. Someone says that all traffic moved to the other social media, Facebook, Instagram, or other. But there's some guys which still posted on F295.
Yep. I used to be a member of quite a few forums, but I have to say I've drifted away, really, mainly for that same reason with Instagram and Facebook.
Can you repeat the question? Because I lost you for a moment.
Yeah, I said I used to belong to many of those forums myself, but not so many these days because it's mainly Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah. You know, the discussion on F295 were a little bit different because people there were interested in doing or sharing something, but in social media, the threads run very shortly and move.
Yeah, I think it's the nature of things today that people's attention span perhaps is less than it used to be. Isn't that right, Neil? You're a young person. You've got a short attention span.
You are. Sorry, I was looking at something else. Yeah, that's probably right, yeah.
Oh, dear.
I was actually just looking at F295, what's left of it.
Have you heard of F295 before, Neil?
I hadn't, no. I'm just looking at what's left of the website now, f295.org. It seems to be sort of just catalog stuff.
F295 forum.
F295 forum.
Yeah. That's actually great area.
So, Cesare,
it is still there.
What was your photographic journey in the early days, when did you first pick up a camera? And presumably it wasn't a pinhole camera.
Yeah, you're right. My first camera was a Russian Smena. That was a cheap plastic Ryan Schwinder camera.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when that was exactly. I was 13 or 14.
Because presumably the Russian cameras were all you could get in Poland in those days, were they?
Also, I lost. Yeah, Russian.
Sorry, Cesare. I just lost you for a moment. The Russian cameras were they the only ones you could really get in Poland in those days?
Yeah, to be honest, yes. There was an option to buy an East German camera called Praktika. But it was very hard to get it. I traveled to Dresden and
you traveled to Dresden, Cesare?
Yeah. Yeah, I used to work all holidays after the school, and gathered some funds to purchase that camera.
So you saved up all your hard-earned money to buy a Praktika, MTL3 or something.
Oh, it was five. Better.
Okay, so you got yourself a camera, and then what happened next?
So, I remember that everyone wanted to have a Japanese camera, SLR, like Pentax or Canon.
Yep.
That was a big deal.
Or Nikon?
Yeah. Nikon was always my favorite. After that Praktika, I had a Rakoff camera, first one, from West Berlin.
Ah, right.
And started to be a Nikon man.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Your one first model.
Yep. And did you get into photography as a way of earning some money at that time? Hello, Cesare.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, bear with us, listeners. It's a long way from Poland.
Yeah, very long.
Yeah. So did you get some paid employment with your either Praktika or Nikon?
Yeah, I made the pictures for the University of Wrocław.
Okay.
A photo documentary.
Yep.
For the Institute of Sociology or something like that.
And how long did that go on for the you're working for the university?
A couple of years, three or four. Yeah, yep. I was a freelancer.
Okay.
After that, a friend of mine started to work at some journal. And he convinced me to buy a studio flashes.
Yep.
And I started to make the studio photography, fitness session, product photography, portraits for the weekly journals.
Yep. But no pinhole yet.
No pinhole yet. I remember my first pinhole negative.
Yep.
I had a Nikon and made a lens cap with the hole made with needle.
Yep.
That was maybe in 2000.
And did you get the idea to do that from the F295 website forum?
No. I found some Polish photo magazine and someone published a tutorial how to make conversion from a medium format cheap camera, backlight camera, and turn it into pinhole. And first I started to experiment with my SLR camera, and after that I made that first conversion for pinhole.
And what was the first pinhole camera that you made, and did it look anything like the cameras you make now?
That was 6x6 wooden camera with 0.2 pinhole and 40 or 25 focal length.
Yep. Sounds about right. And that was a wooden one which took medium format film or 35mm film?
Yeah.
Say again, Cesare.
Thanks.
Sorry. Are you there? Yeah, I am. Yeah, 35mm or 120.
120 film.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't 35mm. It was medium.
Okay. And did you show that camera to your friends and they said, we'd like one of those too?
Yeah, but to be honest, most people in my surroundings thought that I am a freak.
Well, you're a pinhole photographer. Of course you are.
Yeah, I know. If you can get much better for metal.
Yeah, why bother? Why bother with a lensless camera when you can get a lovely sharp image with a $3,000 SLR?
Oh, but I remember I sold that camera on eBay.
Did you?
Yeah. As I remember, the guy who bought this was a guy from Paris.
Mm-hmm.
He is owner of Toy Factory. Factory of wooden traditional toys.
Did he take your camera and steal the design, do you know, or did he just want to use it as a pinhole camera?
Yeah, you know, that first camera was a basic. It had many issues, but...
Yep, we can hear you. Carry on about the issues with your camera.
So the main issues with first camera, that was film transport, because film is not wrapped so tightly like in metal cameras. So it was kind of light tricks or something like that.
So you overcame that, and did you think, well, if I can make one pinhole camera, I can improve on this design, and maybe I can make a living making cameras.
Yeah, and to be honest, that forum to F295 encouraged me to do this.
Yeah. That's wonderful, isn't it, that a community can be so supportive when they see somebody making things and encourage you. At the time when you were starting to make those early pinhole cameras, were you still shooting full time with, you know, portraits and things, Cesare, for an income?
At this moment, not. Making of cameras is my general source of money.
Yeah, but in the period of transition, Cesare, when you were first thinking about making cameras, were you still photographing children and dogs?
Not. I used to work for two.
For who, Cesare?
Yes. So I repeat.
Yep.
This is a little bit annoying.
No, it's okay. We're muddling through. It's fine.
It's fine.
Used to work for who?
For the printing company as a graphic designer.
Oh, okay. That's a good background.
I prepared booklets, books for offset printing or something like that. You know,
yes.
That kind of stuff.
Well, what we'll do now, Cesare, we'll take a short break. And when we come back, we'll look at a few of your images, because I've been looking at some of your images on Flickr.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about some of your images and how you made them and some of the ideas behind your pinhole work.
Sure.
We'll do that as a next section. Is that okay?
Okay, that's
all right.
Fine.
We'll take a break and we'll be back shortly.
Okay.
Go on. So I'm waiting.
Welcome back. Welcome back. So we were just had a little break, and we have Cesare and Neil back. So Cesare, how are you doing, buddy? You are you refreshed after your sleep?
Yeah, a little.
So I was looking at your Flickr images, and you can find Cesare's images if you type in his name, Cezary. And when you're out shooting with your pinhole camera, Cesare, are you mainly shooting to test your cameras out, or are you shooting for a love of making pinhole images?
There are two ways. Sometimes I have to shoot the pinhole camera for the test purposes when I'm making a prototype or something new. And the second reason is my love to pinhole photography, so I'm making the picture for myself.
And are you going out and embarking on specific projects, Cesare, or are you just walking around on your travels and making pinhole images?
So I very like to take with me the pinhole camera when I'm traveling anywhere, because I can capture the new places. Some places I'm seeing first and probably last time in my life. That is very interesting for me to capture the moment this way.
And
you know, when you have a digital camera, you can browse pictures taken in a moment. With pinhole camera, you have to develop the film scan or make the contact preset. There's some mystery in it.
Well, and you have to stand around sometimes for minutes at a time, don't you? Contemplating the world. I was in Berlin last week, as some of you will know, and I went to a concentration camp. It was called Sachsenhausen concentration camp.
Yeah, I took a picture.
Yeah, and it was full of, there was lots of people there, you know, and I thought, oh, it's like a bit of a tourist attraction, which it is, but we were with a guide, and it was a bit rushed, to be fair, and then we were in this area where there was where prisoners used to be kept in solitary confinement, and it was so moving, you know, and I thought, I just got to stand here for a little while. And I put the pinhole camera through the bars, and the exposure was about 7 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
And in that time, people just came behind me, and I could see some people sort of looking at me, you know, I don't know what he's up to. But it was just making an exposure for that length of time enables you to, you know, stop and think and contemplate, doesn't it? Do you find that?
Yeah, I have the same feelings. It's a good thing that exposure takes so long for some moment.
It's all about capturing chunks of time, isn't it?
That's right.
I've seen some lovely photographs that you made in Ireland. I particularly like, I think it's the Halfpenny Bridge.
You mean that panorama?
Yeah. Is that taken? That's presumably taken with one of your 6x. What is that? Is it 6x17?
No. This is a 35mm camera. Very small pinhole camera.
Oh, is it?
Probably there is also a picture of that camera on the Flickr or Instagram. It's a blue one.
Yes.
Very small.
Okay. Yes, it does. I've seen the. I was looking if folks go to the Flickr site, and it's right at the top of Cesare's stream. It's a beautiful image, and it's got just lovely, gentle fall off at the sides and lovely round edges.
Thank you.
It is gorgeous. And that's all. Is that all in camera? There's the circular edges. Is that the camera making those circular edges?
No, the circular edges come from the filter. It's, oh, right. I don't remember exactly the name. This is the, it's called Analog Something Pro. It's a blue Photoshop.
Okay, but that's beautiful. Were you in Ireland for a very long time? Did you meet any other photographers?
You know, I'm visiting Ireland. Maybe not so often, but I'm trying to be once a year. I have a friend in Dublin, and when the tickets are cheap, I'm trying to visit them every year.
There's a few analog photographers and pinhole photographers live in Republic of Ireland, Cesare. So next time you go, you should just... I've added you to our Lensless Podcast Facebook group, which you probably realize. So next time you go, just tell people you're going and you may find that you get one or two folks meet up with you.
I tell you a funny story. Before World Pinhole Photography Day, one guy from Dublin did contact me and asked to go to photo walk on this day.
Yep.
And I told him that I'm not living in Ireland, only this.
Yeah, there's Brendan. Brendan is one of the, I forget his surname, but Brendan is one of the Irish guys who shoots pinhole. And he came over to the UK for World Pinhole Day this year.
Yeah.
We didn't see you. You didn't come over, did you, to Norwich?
I wasn't. I was in Ireland this year in January because I found very cheap. Weather was extremely bad, but I'm very pleased with my pinhole photographs because
they are lovely. You keep being drawn to Ireland. Why is that? Is there a family background, or do you have, you know, why Ireland, Cesare?
Ireland.
You keep being drawn back to Ireland, don't you? Why do you keep being drawn to Ireland for pinhole photography?
You know, I used to work in Ireland 10 years ago for a year. After that, when I came back to Poland, I realized that my friend is from Poland. He's still living in Dublin. So he invited me to Dublin once again, and I started.
Yep. So you started to become a regular visitor because your friend still lives there.
Yeah, exactly. He's also a photographer, but not pinhole. Definitely.
Not pinhole. No. I love the one also in your Flickr stream. It's a very, very colourful of a man with a flat cap standing outside what I guess is a pub, because I think I can read Guinness there.
Yeah. And, Temple Bar.
Temple Bar. Yeah, that's a great area. That's a great area. Were you able to photograph the musicians in Temple Bar? Because they're always playing, aren't they?
They're playing there all day.
Yeah, well, that's good because you can set the pinhole camera up and just leave it there.
So I can capture the ghosts of musicians.
Well, tell them to sit still. Neil, have you been to Ireland?
I've never been to Ireland, no.
Oh, you should go, mate. Yeah, I've been. Yeah. I go quite a bit on business, but I've not been for a holiday, but I know the Temple Bar area is down by the river Liffey. Is it Liffey? It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
and Liffey. And it's loads of really great restaurants and bars.
Cesare, can I ask a question quickly? In your Flickr stream, in the album that's called Ireland Pinhole,
Yeah.
About halfway down, there's an image, looks to be 6x6, Trinity College, sphere within sphere. Do you know the one I mean?
Yeah, yeah. There is a sculpture
right.
Trinity College.
I'm just curious as to the actual sphere, because that looks very similar, if not the same thing, to something that I saw at the Vatican Museum once. Do you know if that's the same thing? If it's moved around or anything?
You know, that's first moving around one within the second. I didn't see the sculpture in the Vatican,
okay.
So
it just,
I can't
from memory, it looks very similar. I didn't know if it was the same one that sort of they taught.
No problem.
No? Okay.
I don't know.
If we have Tim Peake, the astronaut. We have his spacecraft in Peterborough Cathedral, if that's any help.
Yeah, that's a big help, yeah.
Well, that... yeah, I'm looking at that as well. It's some kind of shiny ball, isn't it?
It's a piece of sculpture. Yeah,
shiny ball.
Yeah.
Yes,
shiny.
It's a big shiny ball.
Shiny balls and waters. Shiny balls and water make great pinhole pictures. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
No, they do.
Water, maybe. I'm not sure I've ever pinholed a big shiny ball.
Haven't you?
I don't think so. Not to memory.
Corey Cannon has loads of them.
Big shiny balls.
Yeah. Anyway, Cesare, enough of this.
He must have big balls to be hanging out where he's hanging out at the moment.
Yeah, poor old Corey. Hope you're doing all right, Corey. And we're missing you, buddy. So, Mr. Cesare, Mr. Vermeer Cameras, did you choose the name because of the artist?
Yeah, exactly.
Neil Piper wouldn't know who Vermeer was.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't. Let's just stop
really?
Right there. I may not have been around when Vermeer was around, like you, Andy. You were indeed. I have no doubt of it. I know who Vermeer is, and I know the reference to the camera obscura and his paintings. Thank you. So we'll just stop that one right there before you start.
Sorry, Cesare, carry on. So you chose the name.
So, you know, for a very long time, I was looking at the name for the project, for the cameras. And Vermeer is the best one for me. It's a kind of tribute to Vermeer. Some people say that he used the camera obscuras for the sketches for his pictures.
Yep. And what was the... I mean, you've got quite a range of cameras now available on your ST site. Which was the first that you made? Was it a little 6x6?
Yeah, exactly. That was 6x6.
And...
after I started to make 6x9 and 6x12, the panoramic version.
So the versions of the, let's start with the basic ones, the 6x6 and the 6x9, the design that they are now, has that changed much, or is it pretty much as you first made it?
There are small changes, but... Maybe not the changes,
yeah,
but the improvements.
Yeah, because I can't work out on the 6x9 camera. Am I on the 6x6 camera? On your image there with the brass circular disc, is that the disc that covers the frame counter, the red window? Yeah,
red window. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it covers the frame counter.
The shutter mechanism on the other side that I can't see. What does that look like? The shutter mechanism on the other side, is that a circular shutter or a...
No, I think you've got that.
I think
Andrew, you've got that the wrong way round.
Have I?
Cesare, am I right in thinking if I'm looking at the right camera here, where it says...
This is great, this is great analog radio, isn't it?
I'm looking at the picture of it on the site now, and it says there's a disc that says 591, and you've got the fixings that hold the back on. That would be hiding the red window. Is that correct, Cesare?
Yes. Or is that...
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said. You're making me sound like I'm crazy.
Well, you were talking about... Oh, forget it.
I was trying to understand how the shutter worked. Is it?
Yeah,
the
that's what I thought. Yeah.
Is the shutter the same?
The brass one?
Yeah.
So you need to rotate it to meet the hole, the pinhole.
Okay.
And rotate other direction to close the shutter.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with that design. That's very. I love that design of the circular shutter. The Todd Schlemmer on his Terrapin 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
He uses a similar design.
Exactly. I saw the Todd Schlemmer's cameras. Never had it in my hand, but the shutter design is very similar to mine.
Yeah, I have the Zero 2000 camera, and that has the shutter with the little lever that goes up and down. And I have the other 6x6, which is the reality so subtle, and that's a good design. But to be honest, I think the circular shutter design works really well, and I've been using Todd's camera quite a lot recently, and it's very, very easy to uncover the pinhole and not wiggle the camera about, which I guess yours will be the same.
Yeah, there's only one small issue with the rotating shutter. You have to meet exactly the hole and the shutter hole.
Yes, yes, I can see that. On some of your other designs, you have a Polaroid one as well, which presumably takes peel apart film.
Yeah.
And that has is that a sliding shutter across? Or does the shutter slide across?
Yeah, this is a sliding shutter. I like the sliding shutters. They have only two positions, open and closed, so it's safer to use.
Yeah, more certainty. And it's a shame we've lost pack film. So are you seeing sales of Polaroid instant wooden pinhole cameras going down? I guess you are.
Exactly. Mm. I still have to film bags, and I have some F100 packs,
yeah,
which I hide only for me.
Yeah.
But prices of the loads rise on eBay.
Yeah.
I remember it was available for maybe $15 or something like that, and today is the 30.
I bought loads and loads of packets of Fuji 100C when I was in America in 2012, and I paid $4 a pack for it.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it was out of date by a month in Adorama, I think it was, and I came away with two big carrier bags full, and I was paying $8 a packet for 3000B black and white film.
So what happened at then? Did you use?
I've used it all. Yeah, all gone. My instant days are largely behind me, but not fully. So, Cesare, tell us all about anamorphic cameras and how you were you drunk when you designed that camera?
No, I don't think so. Why do you think so?
Well, I don't know, because it's crazy, isn't it? But brilliant, brilliantly crazy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't like the geometrical shapes. I very appreciate Mr. Zernike Au zero image cameras, but with all respect, doesn't work for me. I wanted to design something
we have touched upon anamorphic cameras in the past, Cesare, but for people who don't really understand what we're talking about, are you able to just spend a few moments and explain what an anamorphic camera does, what the image, how it records the image differently to a normal pinhole camera?
Yes, sure, of course.
Go on then. Explain.
Even he can't.
Are we connected?
We are connected. I feel very connected to you, Cesare.
Okay.
Are you able to say his name enough tonight to make sure he's still there?
I know, yes. Are you able to tell us a little bit about anamorphic cameras, anamorphic pinhole cameras, and how the image is different from a normal pinhole camera?
Yeah, sure. First of all, the exposure time is much longer than in lens camera. So here, exposure is measured in seconds or even in minutes, or sometimes longer. So in very bright sunny day, exposure time is about 5 to 8 seconds. In the shadow, it might be even 40. Sorry.
Hey,
someone. My mum is trying to call me.
Call back, mum. Your son's busy.
I love that. That's your ringtone, Cesare.
Bless her. We won't keep you too much longer, so you can go and speak to your mum. Love her. Anyway, carry on with your anamorphic camera tales.
Okay. So, in anamorphic camera, first of all, the film is wrapped around
a cylinder or something, is it?
Something was wrong. So
that's okay. You said in an anamorphic camera, the film is wrapped around. I think you were probably going to say a cylinder or something.
Yeah, that cylinder. Yeah. So in normal camera, the matrix or film or paper or negative is perpendicular to the axis.
Yes.
And here is symmetrical. That's the main difference.
Yeah.
So images are distorted. On the bottom, it looks normal, but...
Yep, we can hear you. Carry on.
I have to
say... No, you're still there. Hello, Cesare. Yep, hello, Cesare. Carry on talking about your anamorphic cameras. We'll get there.
Okay. So, pinhole is symmetrical to the negative or paper. It's wrapped in cylinder.
Yes.
Our image is not distorted on the bottom, but is distorted on the top side.
And you're not pointing the pinhole directly at the subject, are you? You're pointing it obliquely away at an angle. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Because the central area is a kind of blind area.
Mm-hmm.
What is exactly in the front of the pinhole is not captured on the anamorphic pinhole.
Well, I'm fascinated by the anamorphic images, and I'm going to experiment by making one with a cylinder, maybe a biscuit cylinder. That's my next project.
Very good idea.
Yes, just to play around. And you're actually, so just before we bring this podcast to a close, Cesare, the designs, I've seen something online that you're working on. It's a kind of a half flat, half curved camera.
Yeah, I'm working on improving a film transport in anamorphic camera.
Yeah.
And in large cylinder with diameter larger than 6-7 centimeters, transport work well.
Mm-hmm.
But angle of view is very narrow. In very narrow cylinder, angle of view is... larger, but it's very hard to advance the film because it might collapse down into cylinder.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm trying to improve that and make new curvature. It's not the circle, but it's a U-shaped.
That's right. I've seen some images, and they're very interesting.
So, camera is very ugly at this moment because it's a plastic prototype, but I'm going tomorrow make the test shots.
Are you? Well, if you need somebody to take your prototype cameras from
here we go.
What?
Well, just saying, you got enough cameras, haven't you?
Just because
maybe one could be sent this way.
Just because nobody sends you anything.
Yeah, right.
I tell you what, Cesare, what I am very interested as well by when I look on your website is the 6x17 panoramic camera with a lens as well. So that's not a pinhole camera, but you have one with a lens that takes a lens, don't you?
Yeah, that camera takes a Schneider lens, 90mm full-frontal lens.
I have one of those already.
Well, you know why you're interested in that camera, Andrew? Because it looks an awful lot like the Holger one, doesn't it?
It does look a bit like the Holger, yeah. But it's got a lens on, hasn't it?
Yeah. And tell me you'd never notice that.
No. I saw, Cesare, you know those Holger wide pinhole cameras? The WPC Holger wide. I saw one of those on eBay today for £150. Can you believe it?
Jesus.
No way.
Yep. Yep.
It's a bit plastic.
Yeah. Bit of plastic rubbish. And.
But did you buy it?
No, of course I didn't buy it. No,
oh.
If it was,
someone did.
Well, I don't know, but they are going. I saw one for £100 recently, and that disappeared quickly.
So,
I think maybe people could just go and buy one of your cameras.
That's a great idea.
So, on that note, Cesare, what we'll do is we'll just ask you to advertise to the listeners where they can find both your work, your images online, and where they can look at your shop to ask you questions or indeed to buy cameras from you. So where can we see your images first of all?
I have a fan page on Facebook. It's probably
Yep. So I think you're Cesare on Facebook, aren't you? So people can find you there.
Yeah, it's,
We're getting there. And your SD shop is just as Vermeer cameras, yeah?
Etsy shop, yeah.
Etsy. Etsy. I keep calling it SD. I don't know why I keep calling it SD. Etsy, Vermeer cameras.
Why, yeah. It's called Vermeer cameras. VERMEER.
Yes. So we highly recommend folk check out Cesare's work because he makes some awesome pinhole cameras. Look at his images on Flickr. And I've added him to the Lensless Podcast Flickr group. So you can find him there. And Neil, you're a busy chap these days on everybody's podcast. We keep inviting you on here. And
Hardly everybody's podcast.
So where can we find you? What are the various outlets that we can find you at these days?
I'm on most of the social medias, Neil_Piper. Instagram's really the one where I hang out the most. As you have mentioned, I do have my own half-assed. There we go.
Yeah, that's your mum on the line.
It's your mum.
Yeah, again.
Yeah, tell her, will you? Just be a few minutes.
What was I said? Yeah, I have my own half-assed podcast called Soot and Whitewash, which you can find across most podcast catchers now, I think.
I keep trying to rename it the S&M podcast, but
No. Well, it just doesn't make any sense. That's my other podcast.
No, is that the one on the dark web?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. You know, you called into it the other week with some horrific question.
Stop it.
May I add a couple of ports?
Sorry, Cesare, carry on.
So I'd like to add some information that I also have.
Absolutely, fire away.
It's called the same Vermeer cameras, so easy to find it.
Sorry, just go back and say that again, Cesare.
So I wanted to say that I...
Well, Is it your new website you're trying to tell us about?
Oh, I lost connection.
There you go. Don't worry. You can soon go and talk to your mum. You've a new website. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
It's very secret.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's okay. We can hear you. You've got your new website. Is that right, Cesare?
Yeah.
The Mir cameras.
The Vermeer cameras is on Facebook.
On Facebook. So you can find Cesare on Facebook too, and links to his other sites as well. So reach out to Cesare, say hi, visit his site. Cesare, it's been lovely to talk to you. I'm sorry about the connection. For once, I don't blame Anchor. I blame the Polish telecoms.
Probably.
Yeah. So, listeners out there, thank you very much for bearing with us. I do apologize for the times we've lost Cesare, but we've got him back, and I think we managed to prize most of the information out from him. So we'll sign off there for this week.
Is it any coincidence how bad this has been just because Corey's not here?
No, I'm very impressed with my technical skills. It's just I have no control over Polish telecoms.
Well, why not?
Right.
Wow.
What we'll do, we'll leave it there if that's all right with you fine folks, because yeah. I need to go and lie down. I need to go and lie down. Thank you. You've been delightful, Cesare. And I look forward to receiving my 6x9 camera that you're making for me.
Yeah, I think I will ship it after the weekend. Sorry, but I am tomorrow very busy. And
no, it's fine. I don't really need any more pinhole cameras, as Neil will tell you, but yeah.
Yeah, I could do with some more.
Yeah, I'm not sending you any more. Right, folks, we'll leave it there. And thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Cesare. Thank you so much, Neil, for being my foil, my muse, my stand-in.
Not a problem,
my stand-in. You're standing. And we'll welcome Corey back, hopefully, next week.
Absolutely. Okay, you're very welcome.
Okay, bye everybody.
Right. Cheers, bye. Guys. Bye-bye.
Hi, guys. It's Toby here. I'll just give you a quick call, really, just to say hi. Corey, I hope you and yours are all well after Florence came by. And Andrew, I hope that can of Foster's and a plate of curry hasn't turned you into a fat piggy wiggy. The real reason I'm giving you a little message is I just want to let Lorraine Healy know that Mr. Planks sends hugs. She heard him barking on the episode I recorded with you a while back, and then she saw a photograph of him that I posted on Instagram. So yes, Lorraine, Mr. Plank says woof woof. Bye all.